was the night before Christmas, and all through the studio, the records were spinning, even Sue's studio. The stockings were hung by the speakers of wood in hopes that Saint Anger soon would sound good. Now, Don and Scritchup and me and
Mike Kemp. I think we're going to cut you off right there, buddy. A little too far with the Saint Anger reference.
All right. Those sellouts.
That's right.
Let's get to the show.
It's the Album Nerds Podcast Holiday Spectacular. And now, your hosts, Andy, Don, and Dude.
Happy holidays, mother truckers. Time to talk Christmas albums. How you guys doing?
Yeah, man. Feeling the spirit. Glad to be with you guys in this holiday season.
Andy, you're always such a breath of fresh air in these intros. Always a positive attitude.
A blast in the face of cold Arctic air, more like it. Yes. How you doing, Don?
I need a little Christmas right this very minute.
There you go. Don's bringing a lot of Christmas with his holiday sweater today. Mm-hmm. Appreciating that.
Yeah. Very professorial.
Actually, it's Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, nice. <Even better. laughs>
Nothing says Christmas more than Beavis and Butthead.
Dun, 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 dun.
Is that Mad Mind Steamroller, Beavis and Butthead? What?
Yeah.
So this is the Album Nerds Podcast and our holiday spectacular. We love albums, the album format. We'll be talking about some albums today. It's going to be a great show. Of course, we're going to hit up some records that we grew up hearing in our houses as kids that just scream Christmas to us. And then Don's going to ask us a deep question. We're going to have some shout outs to some other albums and album related items we're digging, and make sure and check us out next week when we talk about our favorite albums of 2024. But this time it's all about childhood holiday albums.
Ho, ho, ho!
That's what I'm talking about!
Holiday albums have been a cherished part of many families' Christmas traditions, filling homes with festive cheer and nostalgia for decades. These timeless collections have provided the soundtrack to countless holiday memories spanning generations and musical genres. This year, we are each presenting an album that played in our household growing up.
There's a lot of them for probably most people, right? Sometimes it reflects your parents' taste, sometimes it reflects the kids' taste in the house, and other times it might just be some traditional thing that has been going through your family for generations. What were some runners-up? What were albums you listened to as a kid, Christmas albums that you considered for this but didn't quite make the cut?
Yeah, we had a special little section in our cassette organizer tower thing.
Did you guys, oh, you had a tower?
Yeah, sort of.
My parents had the drawers. They were made of plastic, but they looked like wood. They had fake wood.
And fake wood
slide grain. Out the drawers.
Classy. Yeah. Well, one of the cassettes in there was Bing Crosby, White Christmas, which I believe is from 1991. It's a compilation album. I remember it most for the distinctive holly on Bing's, it's like his shirt collar, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the classic title cut there, White Christmas, from the film. You guys ever see that film they did? I think it was in the 40s.
Yeah. Great. Rosemary Clooney, Danny Kaye.
Yeah, exactly. Good call. Yeah, the album has some good versions of like Jingle Bells and Meli Kalikimaka.
Is
the Hawaiian say.
I refuse to learn that. I just say random noises. Pookie Lookie Tookie.
I always like that song. The Andrews sisters are join Bing on those particular tracks. Yeah. Anyway, what did you come across, Don?
Well, you know, one of the first ones I remember as a kid was the Perry Como Christmas album. He has a few of them. This is the one from 1968 that's got basically his face on a wreath. And I just remember, you know, once that came out, you know, we knew it was like Christmas time.
Right.
But it's got backing vocals from the Ray Charles Singers, who actually, it's a different Ray Charles. So that's disappointing. I always thought it was like Ray Charles's.
Not the Ray Charles. But
yeah. But it's a good album, you know, kind of more serious in nature, you know, a lot of more like the religious tunes, but mm-hmm. Good album.
Yeah, because, I mean, Perry Como's music was primarily popular in the 50s, right? Mm-hmm. Like 40s, early 50s.
Yep.
Yeah, so one that my parents were quite big fans of was Amy Grant, A Christmas Album. Amy Grant is known for Baby Baby. Originally a contemporary Christian artist, and she gained a lot of acclaim for blending spiritual themes with pop sensibilities in her 1983 album. It's just very folksy, very friendly, and my parents really liked it. I think there was a TV special too, but it's her interpretations of holiday classics, and they're kind of simplified. They're not full of strings and all that stuff like a lot of the others are. So, you know, that one's fun to check out. I remember the version of Tennessee Christmas she did. It sticks in my head every year, so.
Nice.
All right. Enough about all that. Let's get to our choices.
You choose me?
I can't believe I'm going to say these words, but for my Christmas childhood memory album, I'm going with Elvin and the Chipmunks.
Talk about sellouts. God, those guys. Seriously. Anything for a buck.
Talking about their 1981 Christmas soundtrack album, A Chipmunk Christmas. This is the 12th Chipmunks record, their third Christmas record, which I believe they would put out a couple more after this. Tells the story of Elvin and his golden harmonica. There was a animated TV special that went along with this soundtrack album.
Mm-hmm. I remember
it. I listened the hell out of this. Much to the chagrin of my mother, who could not stand the voices of the Chipmunks, but
yeah,
that kind of added some appeal to us for the kids. Let's play the big hit from the record. This is the Chipmunk song.
That is some excellent acting by Dave.
Oh, the whole thing is just solid gold. The album of that song was nominated for Record of the Year at the first ever Grammys. Spent 4 weeks at number one, if you can imagine that.
The original version of that from the 60s, right?
Not exactly, yeah. So the song was re-recorded many times over the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It re-emerged in 2007 after the success of the live-action Elvin and the Chipmunks film. I'm sure you guys remember that.
Yeah, I was bored in a hotel room one time and actually watched it.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
I was desperate, dude. I just was looking for anything that didn't have commercials. It was what was on HBO. So.
Wow. Yeah, this song appeared in Rocky IV. Do you remember that when they're in Russia, you know, training for the big fight? Yeah, it comes on the radio. It
shows the influence of the Chipmunks.
Very powerful.
Okay. Chipmunks were created by David Seville, his real name Ross Bagasarian, I believe is how you would say it, in the late 1950s. It was unique because David did all the voices himself. He does the David character as well as the Chipmunks. He had this kind of innovative technique using the recorder he had to kind of speed up the voices. Pretty innovative way to do it and make them sound like Chipmunks, essentially.
And I think they also recorded it at half speed.
Yes.
Exactly, in order to speed it up and not lose the tone of it. I'm sure there's some technical reasons here, but it did turn out pretty well, and it made a lot of money for him and his family. His son would go on to kind of voice the characters and take over the franchise in the 80s here, and this actually, the Chipmunk Christmas, was his first occasion of doing so. My clickbait headline for A Chipmunk Christmas is, Dave Seville knew best. A Chipmunk Christmas is best enjoyed at as high of a speed as possible.
It's the children would enjoy it.
It's a fun record, but it's primarily for children. The songs are pretty silly and simplistic.
Well, there are better versions of these songs out there for the most part, right?
Yeah. Sung by human beings, yes.
Yes. Not orphan chipmunks.
Right. There is a pretty amusing story. We'll get into a little bit more as we go through some of the songs here. But, you know, going back to it, it was fun. But, yeah, I kind of agree more with my mom after all these years. I think that I did a childhood Andy.
There is some nostalgia to it, though, because I watched the Chipmunks cartoon show and this special, you know, when I was a little kid. So,
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was a big deal when we were growing up, Chipmunks. Mm-hmm. All right, let's play a cut from, I think this is kind of like the crescendo of the record here. This is Crash Cups Christmas.
Children dressed like skeletons and ghosts. Firecrackers while the turkey roast.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, so that's so it's Crash Cups Christmas. I guess I'll explain the story a little bit here. Alvin goes to bed after being shamed by Dave for not having the Christmas spirit. You know, it's like a whole misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. But so Alvin has a dream. So this is all part of a dream sequence. And this guy, Clyde Crash Cup, is basically he's inventing Christmas. But it's like all screwed up in the dream. Like Abraham Lincoln is riding a pumpkin.
Why?
Christmas is on February 12th. There's skeletons and stuff. I don't know. I mean, this is what dreams are like, though, right? I mean, just weird stuff.
Yes. I mean, we don't know the minds of chipmunks and how they dream. So I think this was an insight.
But I feel like this is a better attempt at a dream sequence than like The Sopranos did.
Yeah. I actually rewatched this. I found it on YouTube. I sat through the whole thing.
Wow, man. What did you think of Crash Cup?
It was weird. You know, one of those kind of, I think, a break for the parents to see something that they might actually think is funny, you know?
Yeah.
There's that part when Alvin just keeps talking about money. I remember watching that special as a kid and being so annoyed with the way he would say, money.
I need money. Motherfucking dollars.
That's awesome.
I don't remember that exact part from the special, but okay.
Yeah, I made that myself.
I should give credit to the person who voiced Clyde Crash Cup. I believe it's Shepard Menken, who did a lot of, I think, animated voices in the 70s and 80s.
I thought you were going to be like Marlon Brando.
All right, my clickbait headline for a Chipmunk Christmas is Holiday Special Introduces Chipmunks to a New Generation. So I think the success of this special actually sort of paved the way for them to have the animated series, which is what I knew growing up, you know, that ran from 1983 to 1990. I do remember having like the original Chipmunks Christmas record when I was a kid. I used to listen to it a lot. I mean, even today, like I can listen to the songs and they're fine. I mean, the arrangements are kind of traditional and all, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's fine. Problem with this record is like you always, if you have it in a mix or something, it's got like the narrative going on. You've got
story.
So that doesn't really, you know, work.
Yeah. I think it's meant to be more of a straight through listen, more of a concept album for the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's dig in and hear another cut from the record. This is one of those more traditional songs here, the opening cut. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
This song was written in 1951 by Meredith Wilson. It captures the festive spirit with like vivid imagery of Christmas. We're all pretty familiar with it. In the context of a Chipmunk Christmas, it's the first song they're singing. It's very brief, but they're singing it kind of sets the stage for this is a Christmas story. Mm-hmm. And the song symbolizes joy and anticipation that frame that whole story and make it very childlike and, you know, fun, I guess, from the right perspective. My clickbait headline to describe this album, Chipmunk Christmas, it's for the kids, not great Christmas music, but Mrs. Claus and a golden harmonica save the day and a life. So it's a ridiculous storyline. Where Alvin gives a sick kid his golden harmonica who's like fatally ill. He's going to die, right?
Yeah. Or he want to get breathed on by the diseased boy, though. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he got rabies from Alvin. But somehow the golden harmonica saves him. He's supposed to play his harmonica. He doesn't have it. He doesn't want to tell Dave he gave it away. So he's trying to earn money to buy one. And then Mrs. Claus shows up. It's the big surprise. Sorry to ruin the ending. And she buys him his harmonica. So she saves Christmas. Santa's just, you know.
He's just there.
Doing really. The same old shit. Yeah. Yep.
Santa doesn't really do anything.
We see him for 2 seconds at the end. And he's like, what were you doing? It's basically like, you know, bring me my pipe, woman.
So if you're going to Carnegie Hall to see the Chipmunks, you're going to want to sit like in one of the first few rows to be able to see them.
Because they're so small.
Sure. Yes. Well, yeah, but these chipmunks are unusually large. They're like human child size.
That's true. What do you guys like better, the chipmunks or the barking dogs or singing dogs?
I'll take the barking dogs all day long.
That's good. Sounded just like them.
All right. Well, definitely a little bit of nostalgia there. If you have not seen Chipmunk Christmas, it's available on YouTube, but I'm sure you can find it on other streaming platforms as well. 1981. It is a hit of the 80s and a little bit of the 60s all wrapped together. A Chipmunk Christmas. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Before we get to our next childhood holiday album, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Jingle all the way with Donnie Likey Christmas, the holiday album from your favorite co-host of the Album Nerds Podcast.
Grandma got run over by reindeer.
Don will have you rocking around the Christmas tree like never before.
Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad.
12 classic holiday treats with that fresh Donnie flavor.
To lay before the king. Ba-ra-ba-bum-bum, ra-ba-bum-bum, ra-ba-bum-bum.
Donnie's velvety vocals will warm you up faster than a cup of hot sink.
Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Don't miss out on the festive fun. Donnie Likey Christmas is the perfect soundtrack for trimming the tree, wrapping gifts, or cozying up by the fire.
Divine, oh no.
Make your holidays merry and bright with Donnie Likey Christmas, streaming now everywhere.
Donnie Likey, Roger Waters, the Pitch Up Boys, Brian Wilson.
They went for it.
Wow.
Wow, that's so great.
His dream had come true. He was a Christmas singer.
Yeah.
I wish that was real because I would listen to it all season long.
Seriously. We got to make that happen for next year.
Yeah, maybe next year.
Get some money together here.
A GoFundMe. We're going to have a GoFundMe for 2025. We need a Donnie Likey Christmas.
Donnie Likey.
All right. So from one Christmas legend to another. My choice for a holiday album is Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song. Now, this album was originally released as The Magic of Christmas in 1960, but it was re-released in 1963 as The Christmas Song, and it featured a re-recording of the title track. Let's hear that title track, The Christmas Song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
That's the only time I've ever heard someone saying a dude is chewing on my nose and I like it.
Yeah, God, that just feels like Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. It really does.
Well, the song was originally recorded by the Nat King Cole Trio in 1946.
There were three Nat King Coles? Holy shit. That's crazy.
This is pre-Google. Like, how do you find other Nat King Coles? So it was actually recorded twice in 1946. The second time, it became a pretty major hit. Then they re-recorded it again in 1953. And this is the final time recorded with Ralph Carmichael, who did the arrangements. And this one is in full stereophonic sound. It's kind of the definitive version of the record.
I'd say so.
This was written by Robert Wells and Mel Torme, who you may have heard of before, back in 1945. But yeah, just, it's really become, a Christmas classic. My clickbait headline for Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song is, Cole brings joy to the world with his warm version of Christmas. Yeah, so I just kind of keep coming back to the word warm, and I think that just really describes his vocals. It's It's interesting, like there is sort of a jazzy quality to some of it, but it's more pop though, it's soft and poppy, I guess. I don't know. So a majority of the tracks on the album, I think 10 out of 14 are actually religious in nature. And then the others are, I guess, more like secular tunes. Let's hear one of the kind of the religious numbers. Here's O Holy Night.
O Night.
He gives me a run for my money.
Yes, yes, he does.
Yes, the king's competing there.
Natty Likey. Yeah, so this elevates the beloved Carol with that velvety voice, that like masterful phrasing, the way that he puts the words together, the sharp pronunciation when needed. Composed by Adolph Adam in 1847 with lyrics by Placide Capot and John Sullivan, or John Sullivan Dwight. The song celebrates hope, redemption, and universal brotherhood, or so it says. Cole's interpretation features very lush orchestration, sweeping crescendos. It's very dramatic, and I love it. Probably my favorite rendition of that song. My clickbait headline is a little schmoopy, I probably should have gone with something about wanting a lump of Nat King Cole in my stocking, but instead I went with...
How did none of us say that?
I went with a Christmas album became a tradition for generations and brings families together under the Christmas tree to this day. Like, I think this one's still getting spun in families' homes. I mean, at least on a playlist, you got to have your Nat King Cole.
Yeah, it's really kind of that classic Christmas sound. I mean, it's that buttery voice, man. Just says Christmas.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah. And even if you hear some of, if you listen to the radio, I feel like all these songs could potentially pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Well, let's hear one sort of a less common song. Here's A Cradle in Bethlehem.
A Cradle in Bethlehem.
Dude, if there were angels and stuff standing around the cradle in Bethlehem, they sounded like that. Yeah.
I know, going from that like soft, kind of like almost like putting a kid to sleep voice, and then like that big soaring sound he produces there. Just so impressive. We had this album growing up, so I remember a lot of these songs. And that one always stuck out to me as being kind of a little different than the usual Christmas song. But I guess it was his first appearance on record. It was written by a guy named Al Bryan and Larry Stock. My clickbait headline for Nat King Cole's A Christmas Song is, "The King Delivers His Iconic Buttery Smooth Christmas Sermon." I don't know, for whatever reason, these songs all do kind of remind me a little bit of being at church and hearing some of the songs, you know, sung by the choir at church. I don't know if it's just kind of how he pronounces all the thous and the whilsts and all the kind of like old school English and he uses in the songs here. But
even uses the Latin too, Adeste Fidelis.
Yeah, that one song, right? Yeah.
And then on O Tannenbaum, the German, like he's actually singing in German. That one I'm kind of like, meh, but good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the whole thing holds up amazingly well. This really does feel like the definitive version for a lot of these songs. And it feels so cozy. Like, and it, part of it's the album art. I think we had this on vinyl. I just loved looking at him, like, sitting in that leather chair with his sweater on and the skis and the fire going and the presents.
Right.
The whole thing is just so wholesome and nostalgic, but also I still can appreciate the sound today.
All right. Well, Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song, or The Magic of Christmas, is a timeless holiday classic that showcases Cole's smooth, emotive vocals across a mix of traditional carols and modern compositions. Give yourself a present and check it out.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
All right. It's time for a special holiday edition of Deep Questions by Don. All right. What do you hate about Christmas?
Nothing get you in the holiday spirit about anything.
Let's get grinchy.
I think that kind of gets under my skin a little bit. I appreciate, you know, a good classic or tasteful light display, you know, but a lot of people, at least in our neighborhood, go way overboard with a lot of decorations outside of lights, like these blow up figures have become very popular.
Everyone's Clark Griswold there.
Yeah, everyone's Griswold there. How are their houses? I don't know. It's a bit much.
There's like a 20-foot Santa in my neighborhood. Like a big inflatable, literally 20 feet.
Like over the roof, yeah. We have a very large Rudolph down the street from us. Yeah, and then it all looks so ridiculous during the day when just like all these plastic deflated characters just screwing about people's yards. And I don't know.
Yeah.
That part I could deal without. But, you know, I do appreciate the spirit, I guess, behind the decorations.
Welcome.
Classic.
Yeah, so for me, it's the obligations for Christmas Day, like, you know, or just feeling like they have to do something that they don't want to because it's Christmas. And that's always driven me nuts. But one thing that I loved at Christmas and watched my sister hate was my parents would gather us around the tree after we opened our presents and would try to get us to sing carols together, and my sister would lose her shit, and it was awesome because she'd refuse to do it, and then I'd be getting joyful and singing out loud and showing my parents how into it I was just to spite her. So I loved that hate. So,
well, I was gonna get controversial and say I hated Home Alone, but I don't hate it. I just don't love it.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm a Hughes fan.
Look what you did, you little jerk!
But I'll do my this extends beyond Christmas to New Year's. And I hate when people say Happy New Year's. Right? Yes, it's Happy New Year, damn it.
That bothers me too.
Happy New Year's, you know?
Professor will not stand for this misuse of the language.
Well, it's new, so I think the confusion, I think, comes from New Year's Eve.
Right.
So they think it's Happy New Year's. I hear that a lot too.
Yeah.
And it does make my brain itch a little bit, but I don't correct anybody. Not like you. What I hate is people who correct people.
Yes. They're the worst.
I have to watch myself now.
Right, well, what do you hate about Christmas? Let us know on Instagram and Facebook, or leave a comment on our website, albumnerds.com.
Okay. My childhood holiday album that came to mind first was Carpenters' A Christmas Portrait from 1978. The Carpenters, a sibling duo of Karen and Richard Carpenter, became iconic in the 1970s with their lush harmonies, Karen's distinctive contralto voice, which I'd never heard of that before.
What is that? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, so apparently a contralto is a type of classical female singing voice whose vocal range is the lowest female voice type. It's pretty rare, apparently. So, yeah.
Contralto.
She's got a really interesting, cool sounding, unique voice. So they first broke through with Close to You in 1970, and they've sold millions of records from the late 60s on into the late 70s. So their artistry, particularly Richard's innovative arrangements and Karen's unique voice, continues to influence people, but really fit well with Christmas. So this album was released in 1978. It was their first official Christmas album, and they had a TV special that accompanied it. Why don't we jump in and listen to a signature song by the Carpenters, Merry Christmas, Darling.
But I can dream, and in my dreams, I'm Christmasing with you.
So Christmasing, that's like a verb?
It is when she sings it.
This is one of the Carpenters' most iconic Christmas songs, and probably one of their most iconic songs, period. The words were written, this is interesting, by Frank Pooler, a professor of music at California State University, Long Beach, where Richard and Karen both went to college. Pooler wrote the lyrics in 1946 at the age of 18 as a heartfelt message from himself longing to be with his sweetheart during the holidays. And then in 1966, Richard Carpenter, then a college student, composed the music to Pooler's lyrics.
Wow.
It resulted in the finished song that we know today.
It's a long wait.
Yeah, Frank Pooler reportedly joked that it took him 20 minutes to write the lyrics in 1946 and 24 years to find the right composer in Richard Carpenter to bring them to life.
It was worth the wait.
Wow. Yes, indeed. My clickbait headline to describe the album: before Spotify playlists, there was A Christmas Portrait, the album your parents wore out every December. Mine did, and I bought them a copy of it on cassette when I was like 12.
Nice.
It's definitely stuck in my head as part of Christmas tradition. All right, so why don't we get into another track? This one is It's Christmas Time, Sleep Well, Little Children.
Sleep well, little children.
At the end of all of this, we've got to have a vote of like who of the albums we've talked about has the most beautiful voice. Clearly, the Chipmunks are out of the running, so.
I don't know.
That song is credited to Alan Bergman and Leon Klanskin. Bergman wrote songs like Windmills of Your Mind and The Way We Were. My clickbait headline for Carpenter's Christmas Portrait: Carpenter's aim for wholesome, but this portrait is more like lifeless.
Ooh, zing.
I don't know. I watched the TV special that accompanied this album.
Oh, it's terrible.
Schmaltz is the perfect word to describe this whole project, in my opinion.
Schmaltz liquor.
Yeah, it's a 40 ouncer here, right, man? This will fill you right up. It's very conservative, I guess I would say, in terms of the song selections and the arrangements and the production, I think, is what really got to me the most, which was surprising for 1978. The whole thing just sounds, to me, very kind of flat and pristine, I guess you could say, but just a little bit lifeless as how I sound the whole thing.
Yeah. It's all those arrangements by Richard Carpenter and the Tom Baller choral. I think it takes away from it just being the Carpenters, and it's more like a Broadway show.
It's a big production, yeah. Kind of like a like a musical to some degree.
Yeah, I'd prefer it if it was more homespun, personally. But
yeah, there's moments where they go for that angle that I think worked pretty well in the production. My personal favorite moment from the TV special was this song, this kind of goofy song, A Christmas Alphabet, where they are kind of like dancing between some doors and singing out the letters of Merry Christmas. I don't think it made the cut on the album, but it was kind of a fun moment on the special. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not a huge Carpenters fan, but I could see this being, you know, once these albums kind of get into your family's, you know, history, they kind of worm their way in there and they're never really going to leave.
Yes, they do worm their way in. Yeah, I mean, I can't escape this thing. I even as a kid, I'd be like, can we listen to something else? But now as an adult, I think of it fondly. And I bought it for them. I'm like, why did I do this? All right, so why don't we jump to the next one? Let's listen to a little bit of Christ is Born.
I think that one, you know, really shows off her voice. And, you know, she's starting to kind of flirt with gospel there. Christ is Born. I've actually only ever heard one other recording of it. And it's from that Perry Como album that I mentioned before, written by that Ray Charles guy, who's not the Ray Charles.
I was just going to say. Is it, okay.
and the lyrics are by actually an Italian cardinal, as in like the church. Like
wow.
The church.
Yeah. Like a tweet. Like a bird that's like, oh, I'm going to tweet some songs over here.
You know, it's Domenico Bartolucci. But yeah, I think that's a beautiful song. My clickbait headline for the Carpenters Christmas Portrait is Carpenters Christmas Portrait provides holiday highs and lows. I mean, there are some really, I think, fantastic moments on the record. And I think they tend to be sort of these kind of pretty traditional numbers. I love the version of Ave Maria.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And O Holy Night and, you know, all that stuff is great. And then I understand why they're doing it, you know, because I think they're trying to capture sort of all the moods and all the things that go along with Christmas. You get these hokey medleys.
Medleys, yeah.
Yes. I don't like those. I think it's generational, right? I think it was like they were hearkening back to the traditions of their childhood and the childhoods of the baby boomer generation, which was much of their audience. So it did have that Perry Como, Bing Crosby kind of vibe to it, very intentionally, I would say.
Yeah. I think like the Nat King Cole, it all sort of captures one vibe and it really works, I think, as a whole record. And this one,
yes,
I think because they're trying so many different moods, it doesn't feel coherent. And I think they might have been better off doing sort of one goofy album and one sort of traditional spiritual album. But overall, I mean, there's some great stuff on here, and I definitely enjoy it, and it is in my holiday playlist.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the songs certainly would be in mine, not necessarily the whole album, but the album cover is great. That Norman Rockwell style to it.
Yeah.
And yeah. And some of the other album highlights are the more straightforward songs like Silent Night, I thought was really good. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's one of those that is also kind of become almost the version of it because of Karen's excellent vocal work on it. So yeah, The Carpenters' A Christmas Portrait is a diverse, large-scale celebration of Christmas, and your family could enjoy every bit of it, or one of the kids will be like, can we listen to something else? We'll go check it out anyway.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
So I think we're all digging the holiday spirit. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What else are you guys digging?
Well, I got a few things here. My little Santa sack.
My Santa sack's huge.
Yeah, you're getting a little saggy over there.
Yeah, I'm old.
All right, a couple of things here that I'm making in my end of year list for 2024. The first one up is from artist Hamish Hawk and his 2024 album, A Firmer Hand. This is the third studio album for the Scottish singer-songwriter. It's a very dark, sophisticated, sexy album, having that post-punk vein. Let's hear Nancy Dears.
It's got a little bit of a goth rock.
Goth vibe.
Yeah.
This guy's a very, very explicit album if you're looking for some sexy sounds at the end of the year.
Yeah, but is it like explicit in a sexy way or explicit in a gross way?
Raunchy.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Okay.
That was the number 92 on my year-end list here. All right, next number for me is from Nelia Synfro. The album is titled Endless. This is the second studio album for the Belgium experimental jazz instrumentalist. Let's play Continuum number 2.
Yeah, that would be perfect mood music for a number 2. Just kidding. Just an easy, just low-hanging fruit, but yeah, it's interesting.
There might be a particular note or something that could really, like, kind of...
the brown note.
The infamous brown note, yes. Jeez, guys, it's a very sophisticated album featuring harp and synthesizer.
Well, we're not sophisticated men, so leave that to you.
I have that at number 67 on my year-end list here. What you been digging on, Don?
Well, I figured I'd just keep going with the holiday stuff. So first, I'll mention Clay Aiken. Do you guys remember him? He finished like second on the second season of American Idol. But he has his second holiday album. It's called Christmas Bells Are Ringing. This is Ave Maria. The goofy part about this is he sings the rest of it in English, which I, it's almost always like all in Latin. But so why isn't it just Hail Mary instead of Ave Maria? It's like, you know, pick one or the other.
Because that would sound stupid.
Hail Mary.
No. Can't be done. Can't be done.
I prefer the Latin.
Maybe you could do it on the 2025 release of Donnie Likey Christmas.
Give Karen Carpenter a run for her money.
All right. Another album I wanted to mention, it's not actually a holiday album, The Pogues' If I Should Fall from Grace with God. It was released in 1988. But it does feature what has probably become my favorite Christmas song. It's called The Fairy Tale of New York.
Build my dreams around you.
Are they Scottish?
They are Irish.
Irish.
Irish post-punk band. So that's a duet with the singer Christy McCall, and it's written by Shane McGowan and Jem Finer of the band. But really, really good album.
Sounds good.
So I decided to try and stick with holiday albums. So I did go and find myself something interesting. It's by a group called Panzer Ballet. The album is called Christmas Death Jazz from 2017.
Oh my gosh.
They're a German jazz metal band known for their intricate fusion of progressive rock, jazz, and metal. And this is a unique holiday experience. Let's check out a little bit of their rendition of White Christmas.
What?
There are moments on this thing where it sounds like Serge Tankian from System of a Down. Like it's kooky throughout this album.
Like it.
It's complex rhythms, sharp guitar work, heavy jazz metal twists. It's probably not something you're going to spin a lot, but I think it's worth a one go around at least here at the holiday season.
I think Christmas morning opening presents, that is the pick right there.
And then a more classic Christmas album that I have on vinyl in my collection. I picked it up sometime over the summer. I think I spotted it for like $6 or $7 in the used bin at the record store I go to. Merle Haggard's Christmas Present from 1973. A legendary country singer and songwriter, renowned for that honky-tonk sound and his storytelling. So let's jump into a track called If We Make It Through December.
If we make it through December.
If we make it through December is a sad tale about a struggling family trying to make ends meet and keep their house and keep it food and just trying to make it through December. It's the title track of an actual album as well. But I like it because it's a little bit different. It's a little off the beaten path. It's not, you know, your happy-go-lucky Christmas.
Yeah, it's a good one. Definitely. A little dark.
Yes. A little bit.
That's Christmas for you.
And the rest of the album evens it out.
All right. So what are you digging? Let us know. Join us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Also on our website, albumnerds.com.
It will be a discovery of extraordinary value.
Well, it's about that time on the show, and I'm reminded of the great American author and columnist, Dave Barry. Do you guys know Dave?
I remember him.
I know of him.
He said, "Once again, we come to the holiday season, a deeply religious time that each of us observes in his own way by going to the mall of his choice."
Amazon.
Yeah. Mall. What's a mall?
Well, I guess this is a little bit dated of a quote now. all right. Well, since we're kind of coming up on the end of 2024, next week we're going to be taking a look back and talking about some of our favorite albums from the year.
True discovery when it comes to to new releases.
Yes.
Well, what's your favorite album of 2024? What else are you listening to? Leave a comment on our website or email us at podcast@albumnerds.com. Also, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Album Nerds. Also, you know, make sure you share your Spotify Wrapped that shows everybody that, you know, we're your most listened to podcast.
Exactly.
But please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so via PayPal at albumnerds.com/support.
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Album Nerds podcast on this holiday spectacular. We'd also like to give thanks to some of our partner podcasts that we communicate with and help each other out on our shows. Abandoned Albums, Can I Pod with Madness, Getting Down and Wordy.
Oh yeah, Pick a Disc, Six Picks Music Club, Worst Podcast on Mars,
Music Notes with Jess, Rock Talk Studio, Polyphonic Press.
Thank you all very much for supporting us and each other throughout the year. And also a couple of shout outs to some contributors to the show over the past year. Saul, whenever we need hip hop help.
Yes, Nashville guitarist David Steele, who joined us on that country music storyteller episode.
Yeah, and of course, my brother-in-law, Andrew Finer, who joined us to talk about electronic music.
And of course, Benji over at Off the Record, my favorite record store. He helped us out with Record Store Day. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year's to all of you.
New Year.
We'll catch you next
son
time.
Son of a bitch.
Thanks, listener, everybody. Happy holidays.
Bring out some figgy pudding now. Bring out some figgy pudding now. Bring
You're done.
Won't go until I get some. Damn it.
It's like a threat. What are they going to do? What is figgy pudding?
Keep singing.
That's pudding. That's all that really matters.
Could be one of those beefy puddings that like the English do.
Oh, God.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal!